The gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was once present, and the noble companions were also present, the Jamaat. And then one individual came, and that person, that man, he was like a Bedouin from the, like a villager. One is a person from the urban location, one is from a rural location. There's a difference in the two. The people from the rural location, they're quite simple, no formalities, they speak directly, they don't talk lengthy detail, they speak to the point, they speak directly, they present their meaning. And that's how it is in our rural and village locations. But the people from the cities, they're a bit more sort of modern, bit more sort of clever and smart, and with a certain methodology they'll present their viewpoints. But the people from the rural location, they're straightforward. So the noble companions, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, they were waiting. They would wait that such a person would come from a rural location, a villager, like a Bedouin, and he would ask some questions so that we can also get the benefit from his question. Because due to adab, due to manners, they couldn't speak too much, they couldn't ask too much. And so they were so respectful. In the hadith is stated that the Sahaba Ikram would sit in such a way in front of the Holy Prophet ﷺ that their heads were bowed and their necks were bowed and their face would look down. They wouldn't gaze directly. And if even on their head the birds were to sit, they wouldn't, the birds wouldn't realize that they were there, they'd sit on the heads. But the people from the village, from the rural location, they don't have that same adab, etc., that what should they do, what shouldn't they do. So they'd speak directly. So the noble companions would be very happy when a Bedouin would come, a villager would come. They said, oh, somebody's come. So we're going to hear something and we'll also benefit directly. So he came, that man in the hadith, it states that he was a Badwi. He was from the rural location. Directly he asked the question. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just tell me something good, which is good for me. Khair. What a small question, but the answer is so vast and big. The answer is very vast and big. He asked for khair. O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me some good things so the khair can come into me. Goodness can come into me. And khair is everything. In dunya, we live in this world with khair, and akhirah is khair, and the grave is khair, and every day is khair for us, and the bridge of Sirat is khair for us, and all the phases in the life and the hereafter are khair for us, good. All the phases that are past, they are past with khair, with goodness and well-being. If you have khair in your day, then you'll have barakat in your day. Yes, when you wake up, always ask Allah for afiyah and well-being and goodness. When you get up on your bed in the morning, the first thing you ask for, Allah, today's day, let me pass this day in a nice way, and I'll be safe from the calamities, from problems, from sicknesses, from illnesses. Don't just suddenly jump off the mattress. There are du'as to recite and to ask from Allah. So they have the same meaning. But those who can't memorize the du'as, then Allah knows all languages. Allah recognizes all languages. Don't delay. Rather, as soon as the day is starting, you get up. We don't know how our day is going to pass. There could be a disaster, could be a sickness, could be a problem comes your way, an issue comes your way. What do we know? So everything for our day, the time, assign it over to Allah and then get up, then wake up with khair. So he asked for khair, this man. Now khair, goodness, well-being, how the Prophet ﷺ is distributing khair, and the noble companions are listening silently. Allahu Akbar. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ looked towards him, and he didn't say anything. He didn't take it negatively. Where's the protocol? Where's the formality? Allah Ta'ala didn't dislike it. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala gave a strict order about do not disrespect the Prophet ﷺ, that if you raise your voices, all your deeds will go to waste. Allah has mentioned that. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything to him. Rather, he gave him such khair that it became khair for the whole universe, mashallah. Even today we are benefiting due to this question. So he asked for khair, and the Prophet ﷺ said, fine. Say Subhanallah. He said Subhanallah. And he's counting. He's counting on his fingers. Because he was from the village area. Rural. Subhanallah. He's counting. Say Alhamdulillah. He said Alhamdulillah. Two. He's counting. Say La ilaha illallah. He said La ilaha illallah. Three. Allahu Akbar. He said Allahu Akbar. Then he closed his fist. Subhanallah. Because he was counting. Like he had a big treasure. And verily it was a big treasure. That he closed his fist, his hand. And didn't ask any other question. Didn't ask any, no. And he didn't look at any companion. Great companions were sitting there. Closed his fist. And then he went off. And with happiness he's departing. Because the people from the rural location, they're like that. Yeah. Ooh. No, it wasn't clear. I don't want to forget something. Then he came back again. Yes, the Sahaba Ikram are watching. He said, Ya Rasulullah, that if I say Subhanallah, this is for Allah. Straightforward. Alhamdulillah, if I say it, this is also for Allah, praising Allah. La ilaha illallah, this is also Allah Ta'ala's glorification and praise. Allahu Akbar, I'll say. I'm also glorifying Allah. Wa mali, what about me? What's there for me? He said. What do I have? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Idha qultu subhanallah," that when you say subhanallah, then what will occur? That Allah Ta'ala will say, "Sadaqta," that he is honest, you are honest, you have said the truth. Subhanallah. "Idha qulta alhamdulillah," then Allah immediately will reply, that you are honest, you are truthful. What a great gift Allah is saying about you. That Allah Ta'ala is addressing that you are honest, you have said right. إِذَا قُلْتَ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ, then again Allah will say with regards to you that he is honest, he has said right. Then you will say Allahu Akbar. Allah will say you are honest, you are truthful. And then after that you will say Allahumma gfirli. Allah, forgive me. Allah will say, Falt, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. Subhanallah. Yes, that forgiven, you are forgiven. And you said it, and straight away the forgiveness has come. Then you'll say, Walhamni, Warhamni. Allah will say, I have cast my mercy upon you. Accepted. And then you'll say, Allahumma rizqni. Allah, give me rizq, wealth. Allah will say, all the doors of rizq have been opened for you. Wealth. And then he said, ooh, four, and then these three. Then he closed the other fist. He said, mashallah, he did this. And then with ease, he wrapped his blanket around him, cloak, and he left, departed. And the Sahaba watching him, the companions. And he departed, but such a treasure, he took himself and he left it also for the Ummah. Subhanallah, how azeem kalamat that were prescribed. First, if we look, the Allah Ta'ala, when he asked for khair, something good, from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he asked a question and requested khair, then what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam select? Dhikrullah. Yes, all khair is within dhikrullah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him dhikr. Because you have to teach dhikr. Yes, when you go to a sheikh, teach me dhikr, then the sheikh teaches you dhikr in the same way, in the same style. So he came in his own way. He didn't say teach me dhikr. He came and asked for khair. So what we realize and learn here, that the amal that Rasulullah was prescribing is the amal of khair. And there's khair beyond khair in this amal. And the second point we learn here is that what's the connection of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr with us? If we see here, that when he, that individual, said Subhanallah, then the response, it didn't take long. Immediately Allah Ta'ala responded, immediately, to his call. So Allah Ta'ala with regards to dhikr, he's inserted a quality that this is one such deed, that immediately when an individual does dhikrullah, then the connection with Allah is made immediately. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Direct dialogue with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is a direct dial. You are dialing direct. That immediately, straight away, your dhikr arrives to Allah, and immediately Allah Ta'ala's response comes to you. That same time when a person sits in dhikrullah, and he's doing dhikr and he remembers Allah, then it's such a fantastic amal to remember Allah, my brothers, that immediately Allah Ta'ala's attention is cast towards that person. So the servant, when he goes towards Allah, and in reality he's doing dhikrullah, he's not saying anything, but Allah Ta'ala knows everything about that person. He's upset, he's down, he's got sickness, he's got problem, he's got issues in the world. So the Allah Ta'ala says in hadith, do my dhikr. Remember me. And when a human being does dhikrullah, then Allah focuses on that person. And then Allah knows what sicknesses he got, what does he need, what are his requirements, what distresses he got, what he hasn't got. And he's not even finished doing dhikr, rather he's, during his dhikr, Allah Ta'ala bestows him with what he needs. Just like this person is the example. Such a great question. It didn't take a second. He asked a question and the answer came straight away. He said that, forgive me Allah. Allah said, I've forgiven you already. Tell me. That when a person sits in dhikrullah, this hadith teaches us this. When a person sits in dhikrullah, the halaqa, just like majlis, we sat in the halaqa, the gathering. These are the words of the hadith, you can read them in Fazaili Amal. The people come, they assemble together, they sit down. Soon as they sit down, dhikrullah starts. Dhikrullah starts. Soon as dhikrullah starts, then the situation around is different. The scene is now different. What's happening now? Soon as dhikrullah starts, alhamdulillah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's full mercy, with His mercy complete, He focuses on those people. Allah's attention. And as soon as those people stand up, Allah announces in the heavens immediately at that time that all these people were included in dhikrullah. Allah ta'ala has forgiven each and every one of them. How quickly the connection is made with Allah through dhikr. And then alongside that, in parallel, we see that in this hadith, what a great reward Allah Ta'ala has assigned to those people in response to those kalimat that were recited. What a great treasure that until today, that even today, due to that Bedouin, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, that message has arrived to us. What great kalimat. These are those kalimat that Allah Ta'ala has, via that companion, has delivered this message to us in this hadith. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that all the kalimat, most beloved are these kalimat to me. These statements, most of all, beloved to me, Allah Ta'ala says. So when these are so pleasing to Allah, these kalimat, and Allah, then how pleasing will they be to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said that Allah Ta'ala likes this so much, then these kalimat from all of the world and what it contains, these kalimat are most beloved to me. That's how fantastic are these kalimat, and great they are, and valuable they are. So for the ummah, how valuable are they? Subhanallah. That when the ummah recites these kalimat, the ummah, when they recite these, the wird of these kalimat, then it's stated, when a human being recites these kalimat, then from his body the sins fall just like the dry leaves fall off the tree. That's how the sins fall off his body. How great a karam and a blessing for us that when we do sins, there are so many sins that accumulate during the day, but such a great cure Allah has prescribed to us, that if you do dhikr morning and evening, Allah says, I'll wipe you clean. What a great cure. We can't be saved from the sins. We try to be saved from the sins, but we're insan, so we commit the sin. But what a great cure. Solution. Allah says a great solution. You do dhikr in the morning, and in the evening do dhikrullah. Until from the morning, the sins you do until the evening, they'll be washed. And in the evening that you do until the morning, they'll be washed away in the morning. Wiped away. And if you die in between, you have to die in between either of these two phases, then you will go as a forgiven person. So this is dhikrullah, brothers. This is dhikrullah, that like a dry leaf falling off the tree, Allah Ta'ala removes the sins from the body of the human being due to these kalimat. And these kalimat, they're so great, that if Allah holds them dear and beloved, then after the Quran, the highest kalimat reciting are these kalimat. After the Quran, the wird of these kalimat. For the ummah, it's stated that these kalimat, those who recite it, this is a dal. Do you understand? That a person like a shade, protection. It's a protection, a shade. And what's this from? From hellfire and Jahannam's fire. This will be a shade, a protection. These kalimat, when the human being recites, he's in the dhikr of these kalimat, then what happens is, that when he's reciting them in the hereafter, all four sides, these kalimats will wrap around him and they'll save him from the fire of Jahannam. Subhanallah. And the third point, which is very necessary for us from this hadith, we learn the aqs, the pious predecessors of given the explanation. This, we should hear this. that the Bedouin came, the villager came, and he asked a question to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, gave the reply. And what was the reaction? That Sahabi, those were sitting, they all of them, and the villager, the Bedouin, he also, immediately they embraced this response to their chest. They accepted them. They didn't delay in practicing this amal, and they started it, initiated it straight away. And this, my friends, is for us to understand. What does this mean? Is that today, how many speeches we give, how many hadith we share with people in Ramadan, how many ulama akram, respected scholars have come, given us speeches, told us, given wa'd, given lectures. We come, oh, time will pass, we'll listen to them, and we don't know afterwards what we heard. This same hadith, one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, to hear it after that and listen to it the way that the companions taught us, then should the life of the human being not be changed after hearing this hadith? Should there not be a change of life? Or do we just keep listening, keep listening, keep listening, keep listening, keep listening, and we don't want to do nothing? How much Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with those people. Allah has given a reward, a gift. He's given you tawfiq to hear. He sent a great alim, a scholar, a pious elder, buzurg, and he's paying attention to the listeners. Allah Ta'ala enables all of this. He praises that 2 years, for example, a person doesn't come dhikr. He used to come every week before that. Allah Ta'ala's choice. We couldn't come. Sickness came, problem came, restrictions come, hurdles come. You can't come. Allah allows. Sometimes there's other way of people. There's dhikr here. Some people have love. Allah is khabir basir. He knows the intentions. The more you have give the reception and welcome to a good deed, then Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes towards you. Allah Ta'ala says that I first want your desire. Whatever I want, of course it can happen. Allah Ta'ala says that there's no delay, but this is the sunnah ilahi. Allah sunnah. Allah says, if you ask me my fadl, my rahmah, my karam, then there's one condition. Wajahadu. First you move and you have that objective and desire. First you move yourself. Allah says, you have the desire. And not this that you say from the tongue. It doesn't have to be. Allah says, I know within the depths of your heart what is present. Even from the depths of the heart, there's a desire. If only there was dhikr, it'd be good. Allah says, immediately I will prepare for that. That you have to express your desire and love, say subhanAllah. So whenever you see something that is stopping or ceasing, then make you feel guilty yourself. Don't blame other resources. That's happened. Maybe it's due to that. No. Look inwardly. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has given us the cure. Then when you see khair is ending, goodness is there's restrictions, then first and foremost thing, it's our fault, it's due to our sins, and start reciting astaghfar. Astaghfar. Seek forgiveness from Allah in abundance. Allah, I've made a mistake. We're praying Taraweeh, you're praying Taraweeh, Taraweeh, Taraweeh. A restriction comes, some problem, a hurdle. Yes, is this a small restriction? Yes, then will Ramadan come again? Will Ramadan? How many people in the previous Ramadan and they're not present today, they've departed this dunya? Yes, you're sat in Ramadan. They're in their graves, the poor souls. And you are accumulating your salah and they're looking towards you, please do dua for me. They're begging. You're about to do, and they're dependent. Yesterday, they were like you, alhamdulillah, like that. They'd raise their hands, did dua, recite Quran, do talawah, do dhikrullah, do tasbih. Everything, they had permission. And today, we've got open plain for your permission. Today, they're in the grave waiting. Is there a friend who can say, subhanAllah, my son, and ask Allah Ta'ala to give me the reward? They're in the grave, they're dependent. They're requesting. We forget them. We forget them. We are running around in this dunya enjoying ourselves. We don't remember those who've passed away. Yesterday you sat with me, he was alive, and today he's disappeared. He's passed away. Yesterday he was praying salah with me, and today he's gone. She's gone. So are we not going to go tomorrow? So they're dependent, the people who've passed away. And we've got a chance. We make excuses, we're sick, we're on the bed, we can't move. Even then you can earn. Just say subhanAllah. Yes? On subhanAllah, remember another event I'd like to share with you. As Umar radiallahu anhu, it was his era, you know how stern he was. And he was firm. It wasn't that he was not firm and stern. With regards to deen, he was stern. Yes, but otherwise there was no one more soft-hearted than him. No companion of the Prophet was strict or firm, because the Holy Prophet was like that. That was their style. They had so much haya and ghairat that they could not persevere between the different shape between halal and haram. They couldn't accept it if wrong was being done. Said it was his era, a man made a mistake and went to the boundary, and Hazrat Umar gave the punishment of 10 whips, 10 lashes. How many lashes? 10 lashes. Yes, and that was the verdict. Not that he's getting safarish, solicitors coming, or let me off, please. That's it. The verdict's been handed down. End of story. Decision made. Why? Because whatever was his verdict and decision, that's it. So 10 lashes. So he came forward and about, and the man was going to lash him, whip him, was also stood there, and the Hazrat Umar also was sat there. And when one lash went on him, then listen to this. That he was, this was the era of the Holy Prophet's companions. And when he was whipped, then what did he say? He didn't say, Oh, I'm finished. Tawbah, I'm finished. Because that's what a person does, cries out, shrieks out, screams, I'm finished, I've died, I won't do it ever again. Please let me off. When he was lashed, what did he say? Subhanallah. And then, Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu was silent. And the Sahaba Ikram are watching. When the second lash, he said, stop. Hazrat Umar said, stop. That's it. His punishment is finished, all of it. He is forgiven. One companion was there, he started to smile. He smiled. He said, why are you smiling? He said, I'm smiling for this reason. That one, subhanAllah, he said, Umar has forgiven his 10 lashes. When we'll go to Allah and we'll say, subhanAllah, then what will be our hal? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That you've made it easy for us. Look at this. So this is the case, isn't it? The one recitation, such a great action, dhikrullah. I told you this, brothers. So now, we should not be those who listen, we should be those who do act, say subhanAllah. Yes, so that Allah's rahmah can descend, Allah's rahmah barakat, and every Thursday night you come to the garrison, inshallah, make niyah, inshallah. Make intention that Allah makes it easy for us, and our majlis of dhikr was not a minor thing, the gathering of dhikr. I told you one hadith, such a great hadith. The one subhanAllah he said, dhikrullah, isn't it? And Allah's one sahabi, one companion had so much value of that subhanAllah that he forgave. He said his punishment has ended. Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu said, end of story. I do not dare that I can lash him after that, because he recited Allah's name. It's such a great name. The man says subhanAllah. When he praises Allah in the paradise, Allah ta'ala plants a tree for him. A tree. This is the dhikrullah, my friends. The more a person, remember this, the more the human being is lazy and runs away from dhikr. We say, teach us dhikr, I want to do dhikr. But we don't do it. The more a person is lazy and neglectful of dhikr, the more a person is detached from Allah. He prays salah with delay. He prays Quran, recites Quran with delay. He does the actions with delay. His laziness, all laziness, there are two types. One is due to laziness, action. One is alert, passionate. Yes, focus. There's a difference between the two. One is salah, you come to salah, passionate with love and zest. Big difference, like the difference of the heavens and earth. That salah, mashallah, the angels come and kiss that salah. The passionate person in love with salah. And they kiss, they pick that salah with their hands and take it as a gift. And they join it with his treasure chest. The person who comes with laziness, okay, he's prayed salah, but he doesn't have the qadr. He doesn't have the value. One is the dua, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malikum Adin, dua. One is the depths of your heart, one fikra. Allah give me afiya, Allah give me goodness. From the depths of the heart, and it goes to the heavens, that dua. So this is the difference between laziness, ghaflat, and alertness. Remember, the more person is lazy, ya ayyuhalladhina amru kurula dhikran kathira. Allah Ta'ala does not need our dhikr. Allah says, I have no need for dhikr. On every square millimeter, every square centimeter, there are angels in the universe remembering Allah with greater tongues than us. They are clean, they're pure, they're alert, they don't do sins, they're not dirty, they're pure, they're doing dhikr Allah. Allah Ta'ala has not addressed them, is he? It's for our benefit. Allah says, most of all beneficial action for you is my dhikr. Allah says, my dhikr. Dhikrullah. The most beneficial thing that will give you benefit in this world and the akhirah, every phase of life will be what? The dhikr of Allah. So valuable. Ayashka jalusum. Allah Ta'ala says that if you sit with an insan who's doing dhikrullah, 100% you will not lose out. You will also benefit from his dhikr. Just by sitting next to him, you'll be forgiven. And most of all, the thing that takes us far from Allah is what action? The dhikr when he doesn't perform it. So do du'as, Allah, the dhikr of Allah, give me your majlis, Allah, show me your dhakireen, sit me with them for 5 minutes, Allah. Because with regards to them, you've given good news about your dhakireen. وَذْكُرُوا لَكَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ You'll be forgiven success. فَلَا You will attain. What great, great news, great message is Allah's given in the Quran. Same point, the Sahabi, that this came from this hadith that we studied in the beginning, after hearing this hadith, the biggest dua that comes out, may Allah accept, oh Allah Ta'ala, just like that villager, his understanding, Allah give us the same understanding like him, so that we can clench our fists and take away the gifts, because he said, these are treasures for me, that I'm accumulating for thereafter. If only we have that same passion, that when a friend of Allah, someone deendar, an alim comes, and he gives us nasiha advice, then we should press it against our chest, that after day, yaar, I'm going to do this action for sure. For sure. Maybe tomorrow I won't get a chance in my life, and I might not have the tawfiq to do this tomorrow. But it will be written in the akhirah that he wanted to do this action. Give him all the wood, even if he had the rest of his life, give him the thawab as if he lived through that life and he did this action. Do we make niyyah for dhikr today, intention? Inshallah. Will we do dhikr? Inshallah. Then learn it. Learn it. When I say learn, did the Sahabi not come to learn dhikrullah? That without learning, you cannot attain anything. Quran, if you have a desire to read Quran, what will you do? You learn Quran. And for learning Quran, where will you go? Allah has created imams, maulana, sahibs, and go, assalamu alaikum. When I say, why have you come? Why have you brought your child with you today here? And you'll say, I've come to mitai, get mitai. You'll say, there's no mitai here. Or meat, there's no meat here. I don't sell meat. So what have you come to get? That I have Quran here, I can teach you Quran, he'll say, the Quran teacher. So when you go to somebody, the specialist, then go and acquire that specialism from him. Allah Ta'ala has created those individuals. Allah has made their passion. The Mawlana, that for example, he cannot be a doctor, he doesn't have desire. And doctor will not be a Mawlana, he doesn't have the desire. Allah Ta'ala says, do this action. For this action, I've selected you. But some people of the Quran, they're selected to do this job. So serve the Quran. Serve the Quran. From his heart, this will come out, the Quran. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Simple examples. So what is it first and foremost you have to do? The Allah Ta'ala says, may Allah give us the understanding so we value that when there's a beneficial person in our midst and we can get to him. And every person, you can get different benefits from different people. Every person give you different goals. For example, I give the example that according to the example, like today is a dhikr gathering. So who should you get the benefit from? From dhikrullah. You have to grab it. Hazrat, you've come, please prescribe dhikr to me. You're doing dhikr 40, 50 years and you've met such great pious people. You'll think this, won't you, when you come, that you have done ziyarah of great walis of Allah, where you met them with sheikhs and walis of Allah, and it's a ni'mah to sit with you, and you've today come to our masjid. So please prescribe some dhikr to us, teach us so that we can do it as well. And that please tell us, you told us that dhikr is very beneficial and we've never gone. So Allah Ta'ala sent the teacher automatically to us. Please teach us dhikr, Hazrat. Subhanallah. No, we don't want to do that. No, we don't have the desire like the Sahaba Kram. What's the reason? I'll tell you the reason for that. What's the reason for this? We don't have passion. We don't have desire. What's the difference? We eat more than them, don't we? That they probably never eat a chicken in their lives. They probably never eat steak in their lives. The Sahaba Kram, the takeaways we eat, they never even knew about takeaways. The generation of the Sahaba, delicious foods, you know, dastarkhans, they didn't even know about food. Did they know about biryani? Did Abu Bakr Sadiq radiyallahu anhu ever eat biryani? Hi, hi, subhanAllah. Did Bilal radiyallahu anhu ever acquire biryani? Or did he get the lashes? Or did he burn on the fire? Or on the hot sand? Subhanallah. We get biryani and we run away from dhikr, subhanAllah. And he was whipped and lashed and he burnt on the fire. He said, Allah, only Allah did he remember. What's the difference between us and them? That Nabi al-Kareem says, give them nasiha. They're so happy beyond happiness, and they're waiting that somebody can come and ask a question to the Prophet so we can practice. And if they didn't have the desire, swear by Allah and say this hadith would not have arrived to us if it wasn't for the Sahaba Karam's love, their desire, their passion, their zest. Allah Ta'ala preferred them, then Allah preferred them, then Allah selected him and selected him. Allah spread that selection, that when you like something good, then I spread it. Allah Ta'ala says, I spread it. That if you like dhikr, Allah says, I'll spread dhikr. If dhikr is happening here, then the other masjid will say, we want to do as well. Third masjid will say, we want to do as well. And we've seen this. I've seen this. Alhamdulillah. This desire and passion, mashallah, good people. It's not the case that they don't desire. When the desire is created, then the shock is created. When there's a habit created, then Allah Ta'ala bestows that to the people. Assigns that we have such a great majlis. On every Monday, if there's a majlis and the people who sat there and they're forgiven, And the people in the area, they get a rahmah and their sicknesses go far away. Allah's fadl come, the person is about to die, his jannah will be made. And Allah's rahmah, what can I say about that? Yes, these kalimat. And look how far spread it goes. The people who value these kalimat. Allah's Nabi said, Chacha Jan, please come. As Abbas radiallahu anhu, his dear uncle, the Prophet's dear uncle, that I feel like today that I give you a gift and I tell you such a thing, I give you such a reward, I give you such a gift, I give you such a thing, my heart feels. That I give you such a thing that the next people before you, hidden, zahir, everything of yours is eliminated. Immediately you're forgiven, my heart feels, I give this to you. Subhanallah. As Abbas radiallahu anhu said, please my nephew, give to me. What is it you want to give to me? He said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. In salah, pray, recite this. You know we say salatul tasbih. Where did these kalimat come from? Where did these kalimat come from? Look at this. So my brothers, what's the reason? That inside us, between us and them, what's the difference? Is that they had desire and passion. As soon as they heard something good from the blessed tongue of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, they'd hear it. Just like we hear the hadith of the ulama ikram, the respected scholars, from pious people, good people, there's ta'aleem, the kitabs, they've read or tafsir, etc. But we only want to do what we'd like to do. We don't want to go beyond that. Don't tell us. Why? Why should we do it? Well, what's the reason? I'll explain to you the reason. The hadith that inside you, if the capacity and quality ends, the person sharing hadith with you and you're feeling sleepy and your attention is going somewhere else. Oh, I've come after that just a little while and then I'll go. I'm going to leave. When you have this feeling and emotion, the person's reciting tafsir or Quran and the message of the Quran are coming to you and the human being, your eyes should start to open. That what mistakes, what punishments I'm going to get, and all my good deeds, what rewards I'm going to get, and his emotion should get stronger. You listen to the Quran. It's not a minor thing. Allah's Quran. But we, I don't know, what was he reading? What was he saying? What tafsir? Oh, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, yes. What points he mentioned. What a great speech. And after that, we're just praising his speech. That person who said it. This happens, isn't it? Call him, he gives a great taqreer, great speech. Oh, there's no one compared to him. He says such nukte, he speaks against other people. He puts them down, he ridicules them. Brothers, he didn't come to give you this that you give, you praise him. He said rather than what I've told you, select some of the jewels. That was the rank of the Sahaba. That was their style. They'd come to attain. And that was the reason? The reason is this, that when you get this emotion, that the capacity to listen ends, and the effect of it on us ends, and the reason for this is one, that heart, they are sealed, they are wrapped up, they are sealed, those hearts. It's obvious. Yes, that if something good is coming, you bury it, end of it, then there's nothing will go into it. You've buried it. So our heart, there's a cloth or a seal wrapped around it. The Quran should make our hearts melt. But as it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, all of the capacity and qualities of the heart ends, whether it's Quran or hadith or good messages, it doesn't affect the heart of that person. It stops. And for this reason, it stated, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, it's lazim, essential, if you want to take benefit from the Quran, from the ahadith, if you want to take benefit from a friend of Allah, a sheikh, then do one action, that wash your heart and keep it pure and clean. Kullu shayin sakalatan sakalatan qalb. Say loudly, bi dhikrillah. Allah's Nabi ﷺ has announced that morning and evening, when you wash and clean your body physically, then for the heart, to revive the heart, to create tenderness and affection and the love of Allah. And so the dhikr of Allah, desire, is Allah's name once, is that minimal? Is there no barakat in that? Is there no effect of that? My Hazrat Sahib, people used to come and they used to ask for shifa for their marz, for the sickness. Wallahi, I tell you the truth. What did Hazrat Sahib write down? Allah. Allah. Allah, he'd write, and it's a here. Morning and evening, and then drink that water, and that person was cured. Few people were cancer patients, I saw them get cured. There were patients with sicknesses, and there was a line, Hazrat, give me taweez. And as they say, on the Taweez, don't put, have Aqeedah on this name. Don't have Aqeedah in the Taweez, Hazrat Sahib said. Have Aqeedah in this name. The difference between me and you is that you have Aqeedah in this Taweez, madman. I have Aqeedah in this name. I know that whatever right kalim on this, but wasta for the sake of Allah, it's He who gives the cure. If I take Allah, Subhan will be left. If I take Allah, everything else will be finished. When Allah, when you acquire Allah, attain Allah, then everything changes. Say Subhanallah. Everything is based on Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So my brothers, on your heart, if Allah's name is inscribed, then what a great achievement. So the friends of Allah, they inscribe on your heart the name Allah. And if you want your name written, then come to me, I'll write the name of Allah on your heart. I'll inscribe it. That's what, I'm a specialist, I'm a consultant of this course, of teaching the name of Allah. That's my occupation, that's my career, that's my duty. But what is it? It doesn't take effect on the people. They look at me, they praise, they're happy, say salam alaikum alaikum salam, then they scarper. They run away. I said, okay, your choice, what can I say? What can I say? Why? Because there's a seal on the heart. They come with a niyyah, recite the istighfar, that this elder is coming, I want to listen attentively. Whatever I need and require, I request him, Hazrat, give this to me. That should be the intention. The hadith comes, a good hadith. I heard this hadith so I can understand it. So understand the hadith from him. If there's a faqih, a jurist, you want to ask him masla, fasting, salah. If he's a wali Allah, then learn Allah's name from him. Allah. Say Subhanallah. So Alhamdulillah, today's discussion was so good. The may Allah Ta'ala give us all a good understanding of this subject, just like that villager, the Bedouin, understood. So let's go. Let's continue. Let's do a little bit of dhikr of Allah, inshallah. Recite the Rushri.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعليه صحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين